The little blue jay I called Ludwig thrived, but being raised by a human instead of a blue jay family meant that his education was different from what a normal blue jay would have. The first time Ludwig took a bath in my kitchen sink, he soaked himself so thoroughly that each flight feather became a sodden, stringy, heavy mess. He hopped up to the edge of the sink with no problems, but when he tried to fly across the room to the table, he dropped to the floor like a rock. I picked him up on my finger and he stayed put while drying off. It took half an hour of preening to get his feathers back into flying condition. I had learned that there was no way I'd qualify for a permit to keep him permanently, so right when he was starting to take short flights, I started taking him outdoors so he could learn some of the skills he'd need to become independent. It was, of course, terrifying the first time I set him on a bush. What if he flew off and I never saw him again? How would he survive? I realized that parent birds are way, way better at keeping track of their fledglings and are ever so much more able to reach them in high trees than I could possibly be. Fortunately, fledglings also do keep track of their parents, and the first week or so, Ludwig never strayed far from me. When I couldn't stay out with him, he'd happily come inside with me, at least at first. As he got a bit more independent, especially after he discovered mulberries in the back of the yard and delectable fruits further away in the neighborhood, sometimes he didn't want to come in with me. I was more and more feeling like Samantha on the show Bewitched when she'd call, "Mother, Mother!" into the bushes, making her neighbors think she was crazy. Calling Ludwig seemed, if anything, even more bizarre, though really, calling to a living, breathing blue jay seems a bit less ludicrous than calling to a witch, at least in the part of the planet where I come from. Sometimes I'd be forced to leave him out. When he was ready to come in, he'd look through our apartment windows until he saw us and pecked at the glass to catch our attention. He was starting at long last to make blue jay vocalizations. Whenever he wanted me, he'd make a squawk that sounded like ma, ma. One time a huge storm blew in while Ludwig was outside. As the ominously dark clouds built up, I searched and called, but he didn't come. When the deluge started, I had to give up and go inside. Every lightning bolt and blast of thunder made me more frantic. When the rain finally stopped, I ran out and called for him. I couldn't find him in my own yard or anywhere near, so I hopped on my bicycle and started riding through the neighborhood calling his name. Finally, a few blocks away, I found him sitting on a telephone line directly above a bus stop, feathers so plastered against his body that he didn't look anything like a blue jay, just a gray, sodden mass squawking, "Ma! Ma!" A dozen people were waiting for the bus as I pulled my bike to a stop. That was back when I still clung to a shred of a sense of dignity. And I felt my face grow hot as I called, "Come on down, Ludwig." He dropped like a rock, fortunately, onto the slim patch of grass between the sidewalk and the curb. He hopped up to me, yelling, "Ma! Ma!" as the people stared and laughed. Thanks to the spunky little blue jay, my sense of dignity slowly dissolved. That radar system, so desperately focused on any sign of disapproval or ridicule, makes it hard for people to follow their own lights. Some of us get so wrapped up in self-consciousness that we forget that absurdities creep into everybody's life. I think we need to outgrow that to become genuine human beings, which, intriguingly, means being able to live more like blue jays. That was one of the important lessons I took from those magical days with a blue jay named Ludwig. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.